So tonight we're going to discuss the sugya of Ein Mavir Na'ala Mitzvos. We'll see how it comes up. It's not explicit in the Gemara, but it's necessary to understand something that emerges from the Gemara, actually today's daf. So, without further ado, the Gemara in Masechta Sota and Daf Chav Beis in Source 1 says, Kibul Schar Me'almanos. So the Gemara, without getting into the context, the Gemara says from Rabbi Yochanan that we learn the concept of Kabbalah Schar from the practice of a certain almana. What was her practice? Dahi almana dahavoy bekinishta b'shivavusa. There was a certain almana that had a shul in her community, in her neighborhood. Kol yoma havas asya matzla be'midrashi de Rabbi Yochanan. But nevertheless, even though she had a shul in her community, she would go and travel to the base medrash of Rabbi Yochanan to daven. Amar la, so Rabbi Yochanan said to her, Biti, lo, beis haknesses b'shivuseich. Isn't there a shul in your neighborhood? Amar la, she said to him, Rebbe, v'lo schar psios yeshli. Well, don't I get schar psios? And from the Gemara, it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan agreed to this concept that there is such a thing as schar psios, that even though there was a shul in her neighborhood, nevertheless, she received the reward for walking further to Rabbi Yochanan's base medrash. So what emerges from this Gemara is that there is a value in walking further to shul. So much so that the Magen Avraham, in Source 2 in Siman Tzadi in Hilchos Tefillah says, the Magen Avraham says from this Gemara in a parallel Gemara above Metzia that if you have two shuls and one is closer to you, you should actually walk to the further one because of the concept of schar psios. That's the psak of the Magen Avraham, and that's what emerges from this Gemara in Masechta Sota. So the question that the Velt asks on this psak of the Magen Avraham is that we know that there's a concept of Ein Mavirn Al HaMitzvos. If you have two mitzvos that are presented, or two opportunities to do a mitzvah, and one is presented your way before the other one, so you're supposed to do the mitzvah that you have the opportunity to do first, and then you do the other mitzvah. Otherwise, you run into the problem of Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos. You don't pass over the opportunity to do a mitzvah. So how could it be that the Magen Avraham would recommend you to walk to the further shul if, at first glance, it means that you're passing over the first shul in order to get to the second shul for Schar Psios? Aren't you violating the concept of Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos? You had the opportunity to daven in the first shul before the further shul. So how can the Magen Avraham recommend, because of Schar Psios, to walk to the further shul? That's what the Achronim ask on this psak of the Magen Avraham. So in order to appreciate the question and to understand the suggestions that we're going to discuss, maybe let's give a little background to the sugya of Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos, the concept, and hopefully that will give us a better understanding of the question and the possible tirutzim to resolve the shita of the Magen Avraham. So, where do we learn the concept of Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos? So, the pasuk in Parshas Bo, Ushmartem Asamatzos, Ki Be'etzem Hayom Azeh Hotzeisias Tzivos Lichem Yeres Mitzrayim, Ushmartem Asayom Azeh Ledoros Lichem Chukas Olam. So, the pasuk Pshan, the pasuk, is referring to the concept of Shmira by Matzos, Shmur Matzah, right? That you should make sure that the matzos don't become chametz. Ushmartem es ha-matzos. Chazal have an additional level of interpretation. Rashi al Torah quotes from the Mechilta. Take a look in Source 4. Rashi says, Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Al tikori es ha-matzos. Don't read the pasuk, Ushmartem es ha-matzos. Ella es ha-mitzvos. Ushmartem es ha-mitzvos. What does that mean? Kiderech she'en machmitzen es ha-matzah. So what the Torah is coming to teach us is just like you shouldn't allow the matzah to become chametz, in other words, to spoil. Let it sit over. Kach in machmitzen es ha-mitzvah, ela in baliyotcha aseos chamyad. That if a mitzvah is presented your way, you should do it immediately. And Chazal are telling us the concept of Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos. If you're presented with the opportunity to perform a mitzvah, don't let it pass. Do it right away. Ein Mavir Al HaMitzvos. There's a discussion in the Achronim as to whether this din of Ein Mavir Al Mitzvos is a din d'orais or din d'rabbanan. The Chai Adam has a discussion about this, whether this is a din d'orais or din d'rabbanan. But either way, it's a bona fide din of Ein Mavir Al HaMitzvos.
I mean, is it clear that smach? It's not. It's clearly not smach, though. That's how the Torah says. How is it d'orais?
Good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know. No, I don't know. But there, I think the Chayodim does say that's the Daraisa, but that's a good question.
Yeah.
It seems to be not the simple...
I just wonder in general, when the Torah says, don't all tikri this, read this, says...
Right. Yeah, usually nasma, yeah. Usually it's an asmachta, and usually that means it's in the Rabbanim, but there are Achronim who suggest that this is a Daraisa.
Okay.
So there are three types, three categories of Ein Ma'avir al Mitzvos that we find in Shas. The first is when you have the opportunity to do two separate mitzvos, and the halacha is that you're supposed to do the first mitzvah that comes your way. So what's an example of that? So that's the Gemara Maseches Yuma. For those who say Korbanos in the morning, you know, that's amazing. And for those who say the Seder Hayom of Abaye Hayomer, that's really spitz. So Abaye, I think it's a Gemara in Yuma. It is a Gemara in Yuma. So Abaye says that he lists off the Seder Hayom of the Kohanim in the morning, how they do the Tamid Shel Shachar and all the avodos that surround the Tamid Shel Shachar. So the halacha is that the Kohen is supposed to do Dishon of the Mizbeach HaPnimi before he does Hatavas Aneiros, meaning he's supposed to clean the Mizbeach HaKtoris when he goes into the Heichal. He's supposed to clear off the ashes from the Mizbeach HaKtoris before he clears out the menorah in order to set it up for Hadlak. So why is that? So the Gemara explains because of the concept of Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos. Since when the Kohen walks into the Heichal, he touches the Mizbeach before the menorah, because we know that there are three big kelim in the Heichal. There's the Mizbeach HaKtoris, there's the menorah in the south, and then there's the Shulchan in the north. And the Mizbeach HaKtoris is further towards the entrance of the Heichal. So when the Kohen walks into the Heichal, he touches the Mizbeach HaKtoris first. Therefore, the Gemara says that he's supposed to clear the Dishon of the Mizbeach HaKtoris, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, before he does Hatava of the menorah, because Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos. That's what the Gemara in Maseches Yuma says. That's the Gemara in Source 5. The Gemara says that you see from this concept that when it comes to tefillin, you're supposed to not pass over the tefillin shel yad to do the tefillin shel rosh. So what in the world does that mean? So there's a three-way machlokas rishonim as to what it means when the Gemara says, if you take a look at the end of Source 5, the Gemara says, Amarava shmamina midresh lokesh avuri dara atotafta aser. You're not supposed to pass over the tefillin shel yad to do the tefillin shel rosh. Hechiyavid midara letotafta. You're supposed to go from the tefillin shel yad to the tefillin shel rosh. So the Gemara is very vague. So it's a machlokas between Rashi and 2 days in Tosfos. What that means. Rashi assumes what that means is you're always supposed to put on the tefillin shel yad before the tefillin shel rosh. Because since you reach your arm before you reach your hand, your head, so therefore you should put the tefillin shel yad on before you put on the tefillin shel rosh. Tosfos is bothered by kasha. We have a separate gzeiras hakasav that you're supposed to put on the tefillin shel yad before the tefillin shel rosh. So you don't need the concept of ein ma'avir al mitzvahs that dictate that. So Rabbeinu Tam over there in the Gemara Yuma says that what it means to say, and this is very relevant halach lamaisa, Rabbeinu Tam says that when you have when you put away your tefillin, you should make sure that you put it away in a way that the first tefillin that's going to come out is going to be the tefillin shel yad, because since you're supposed to put that one on first, if the tefillin shel rosh is more accessible, then you're going to have to pass over the tefillin shel rosh in order to get the tefillin shel yad, and that's going to be a problem of ein ma'avir al mitzvah. So you should make sure that you position your tefillin shel yad in a way that's going to be the first one to come out. It was clear in Rabbeinu Tam that he was discussing a situation where, you know, like there was Israeli pencil cases where people have the tefillin, they put one on top of the other, like the army, right? The army tefillin zekel, not like this. So it was clear that Rabbeinu Tam was suggesting that you should make sure that the tefillin shel rosh is on the bottom and then the tefillin shel yad is on the top. This way, the first one that comes out is the tefillin shel yad.
That's a better case?
No. No. But that was the Metzias. That was the case that he had, because it's one on top of the other. It's not a better case for this reason, because then you have to put one on top of the other. So the post can suggest, maybe even if you have a side-by-side, a classic tefillin case, maybe you should make sure that the tefillin shel yad is where the zipper ends. This way, when you put your hand in, the first one that you're going to reach is the tefillin shel yad. And then the tefillin shel rosh. What was that?
Bag. I'm saying,
imagine this is your tefillin bag. So you open up the zipper. So when the zipper ends here, so you're going to put your hand is there first. So maybe you should put your tefillin shel yad on that side. This way, you don't have to move your hand that way to get to the Tzilin Shaliyat. That's what some poskim suggest. Others say, no, that's ridiculous.
Talit should go on top of the Tzilin for that reason, no?
The Talit should go on top of the Tzilin. Exactly, yeah. Right. Poskim suggest that. You should put your Tzilin for the back.
I mean, it's very, very specific. When you have a sitter in the bag, you need to touch the sitter.
No, but the sitter is not necessarily, it's not a mitzvah that you're going
to
do with the sitter.
I don't know, I'm just making sure.
The sitter is just like...
Don't even front to him, right?
Exactly.
Don't get involved. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Yeah, so some poskim say, no, that's ridiculous. The concept of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah is when there's a significant act where you're passing over one mitzvah to do another mitzvah. You know, a slide of the hand is not going to be a violation of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah. Rabbi Shawai suggests that he doesn't think it's a problem to be makbid. But Rabbi Natam says, if, you know, in terms of one on top of the other, you should make sure that the Tefillin Shel Yad is on top of the Tefillin Shel Rosh. That's the way he reads the Gemara. And then Rabbeinu Eliyahu there, Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Eliyahu, the Baal Tosis, who assumes that the Pshat in the Gemara in Yuma is, you know, the halacha is that we learn Gzeir Shav from the tzitz, that just like by the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol would wear, he was supposed to be mamashmish to make sure that he remembers that he's wearing the tzitz, so too by tefillin, you're supposed to be mamashmish. And we do that in Shema, right? Uksharim Los Al Yadecha, we touch our tefillin to make sure that we remember that we're wearing our tefillin. So Rabbeinu Eliyahu says, what the Gemara means to say is when you touch your tefillin, you should make sure that you touch the tefillin Shel Yad before the tefillin Shel Rosh because of the problem of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah. So you touch, you know, you get to your arm first, so if you go like this, you're violating the concept of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah. But either way, that's Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah when it comes to two different mitzvos, and you should perform the one that comes your way first. That's one type of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah. The second type of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah is if you have one mitzvah that can be performed in two different places. One mitzvah that can be performed in two different places, you should do that mitzvah in the first place that you can perform the mitzvah. Where do we find that concept? So it's a Mishnah and a Gemara in Maseches Menachos. We know that there's a concept of Ktziras HaOmer, that you're supposed to cut the barley in Eretz Yisrael in order to bring that barley as the Korban HaOmer. And the Mishnah in Maseches Menacho says that it's a mitzvah to bring from the closest place to Yerushalayim, the closest field that you have where the barley is ripe for reaping. You should reap from that field and bring that as the Korban Omer. And the Gemara has two reasons for that. We're not going to focus on the first reason. The second reason of the Gemara is because of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos. Now, that's one mitzvah, right? There's one mitzvah of Ketziras HaOmer, and it's a question of where are you going to perform that mitzvah. So there we see that the concept of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos applies even to one mitzvah, that you should perform it in the place that allows you to fulfill a mitzvah as soon as possible.
So what is that location? The location doesn't make sense there. Meaning you have one field here, one field here, one field in Jerusalem. Which one do you take? The one here?
The closest one.
But then you're passing this one.
What do you mean?
You're supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim.
You're in Yerushalayim.
Well, you live here, so you're... Oh, you live in Yerushalayim.
Yeah,
oh,
you're coming from Yerushalayim. So, the point is, you're coming from Yerushalayim.
You're coming to Yerushalayim.
No, the
mission. Question, what's the mitzvah of going to Shul?
Oh, right. So we'll come back to the question. We'll come back to the question on the Magen Rebbe. Let's just give you a little background now in terms of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah. So that's category number two, Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah, when it comes to one mitzvah in two separate places. Now, the third category of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvah is one mitzvah in two different periods of time. One mitzvah, two different periods of time. Where do we find that? So that's a Gemara in Maseches Megillah. We know that there's a Machlokes Tanoim as to when you perform the mitzvahs of Purim in a leap year. Adar Rishon, we spoke about, I think, when we went Maseches Adarim. Do you perform the mitzvahs of Purim in Adar Rishon or in Adar Sheni? It's a Machlokes Tanoim. We paskin that we perform the mitzvos of Purim and Adar Sheni because of the concept of being somech geula legula, that we want to make the geula of Purim close to the geula of Pesach, of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yet there's an opinion in the Tanaim that we actually perform the mitzvos of Purim in Adar Rishon. So why is that? So the Gemara says, because of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos. Now again, that's one mitzvah, but that's not two separate places. That's two separate zmanim, right? Two separate times in order to fulfill the mitzvah, Adar Rishon versus Adar Sheni. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara invokes the principle of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos, even in that type, even when it comes to one mitzvah and one place, but two separate zmanim, you should perform the mitzvah as soon as possible in terms of the period of time. So again, so there are three categories of Ein Ma'avir Nala Mitzvos. One is two mitzvos, you should perform the first mitzvah that comes your way. The second is one mitzvah two separate places to perform the mitzvah. You should perform the mitzvah at the first place that you have the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah. And then the third category is one mitzvah with two zmanim, two periods of time. You should perform the mitzvah at the first opportunity. That's the Gemara, the Shita of the town of Rebbe Lazar, I believe, of Ein Mavir and all mitzvahs, Rebbe Lazar. Okay, so now, again, back to the Magen Avraham. So now everyone asks on the Magen Avraham, how can the Magen Avraham suggest that you're going to pass over, you're allowed to pass over the first shul in order to get to the second shul because of Schar Psios? What happened to Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos? So just to make sure we have it clear, which type of Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos is that?
One,
two, or three?
Performance, number two.
Number two, right. L'chor is number two.
Like number six.
Source 6, right, the Gemara Menachos. It's comparable to the Gemara Menachos that there's one mitzvah that you can perform in two separate places, and what the Magen Avraham is suggesting is you can pass over the first place, the first shul, where you're going to daven with a minyan in order to get Schar Psios and daven at the further shul. So that's what everyone asks. How could it be? It's against the Gemara in Menachos. Okay. And l'chora, the mitzvah of Beis HaKnesses, we'll clarify that in a moment, but let's assume for now that the mitzvah of Beis HaKnesses is a place where you can daven b'tzibur. It's really the mitzvah of tefillah, and the Beis HaKnesses is the makom that's going to facilitate the mitzvah
the
of tefillah b'tzibur.
I mean, the woman.
Who says she doesn't have the mitzvah to daven b'tzibur?
Not me. not in Inca Park.
Cancel.
What was that?
It's
a share for Tuesday night, right? Yeah.
I don't get it. What?
Yeah. So we're going to suggest three different answers in the Achronim, but there are many, many different answers. A lot of the Achronim get involved in this question. So Rav Eliashiv, in his Ha'aros and Masecha Sota, quotes on the Chida the following answer. There's a famous psak of the Trumas Hadashin when it comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush Lavan. Right? We know that we usually, the halacha is that you're supposed to wait at least 3 days, that's the psak of the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch says 7 days, into the month in order to do Kiddush Lavan. However, the Trumas Hadashin suggests that even if it's already reached the third day, or the seventh, let's assume the third day of the month, L'chatchila, you should wait till Motzai Shabbos to perform Kiddush Levana. Why? Because after Shabbos, everyone's wearing their big day Shabbos. They smell relatively nice, as long as they weren't playing with the kids too much. But they may smell relatively nice after Shabbos. So you can perform Kiddush Levana in a more mehudar way. So therefore, it'd be preferable to wait to do Kiddush Levana on Motzai Shabbos, even though you had the opportunity to do Kiddush Levana earlier in the week. Now, the Trumas Hadashin says that it depends. You know, if you're living in a place in the East Coast or California this winter, where it rains all the time and it's very cloudy, and you may not have the opportunity to do Kiddush Levana, you may miss out. So then you shouldn't wait till Motzai Shabbos. But you know, let's say LA, that the way it's supposed to be, or at least hopefully in the summer, or other places where you don't expect it to be cloudy. So then, says the Trumas Hadashin, you should wait to do Kiddush Levana until Motzai Shabbos. So what the Trumas Hadashin is suggesting is that you're allowed to wait, you're allowed to delay the performance of a mitzvah if it means that you're going to perform the mitzvah in a more mehudar way. Right. So again, the Trumas Hadashin is dealing with the problem of Ein Ma'avir Mitzvos in terms of Zman. Right. It's not talking about Makom of Mitzvah. It's not talking about two Mitzvahs. It's talking about one Mitzvah delaying the performance of that Mitzvah in order to perform in a more Mehudar way. So says the Chida that Rav Eliashiv quotes, that perhaps that's the Pshat in the Magen Avraham. Walking further to Shul is potentially, maybe this is a Chiddush, but potentially it's a more Mehudar performance of the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur, tefillah in a Beis HaKnesses. Of course, you know, you're davening in a shul, but if you walk further with the schar psios under your belt, maybe that's a more mehudar performance of the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur in a Beis HaKnesses, and that's why the Magen Avraham would allow delaying and passing over the first shul in order to get to the second shul, similar to the heter or the psak of the Trumas Hadeshen, that you're allowed to delay Kiddush Levana in order to perform Kiddush Levana in a more mahudar way. So now, that's a bit of a chiddush to say that Schar Psios makes it as if the second that makes it as if the when you daven at the second shul, it's a more mehudar tefillah b'tzibur in a Beis HaKnesses. But that's the suggestion of the Chida. There are those who think that that this psak of the Trumas Hadeshen, that you're allowed to delay the performance of a mitzvah if it means you're going to perform that mitzvah in a more mehudar way, they think that this relates to a well-known machlokas between the Radvaz and the Chacham Tzvi. The Radvaz was asked, if you have a person was in jail, and he was given the impression that the sar, the one who was in charge of the jail, was going to let him out of jail one day, that you can take care of his needs. So the person who was in jail thought, oh, wow, I'll be able to perform mitzvahs that I wasn't able to while I was in jail, like tefillah b'tzibur. So the Radvaz was asked whether the inmate should ask to get out of jail as soon as possible, to perform the mitzvah as soon as possible, or should he wait till an auspicious day, the most ideal day, where he's able to perform most mitzvahs. You know, maybe he should wait till Yom Kippur, that he can daven with a minyan Yom Kippur, or maybe Purim, he can perform many mitzvahs on the day of Purim. So that was the question that the Radvaz was asked. And the Radvaz answered that he should daven as soon as possible. He shouldn't wait. That was the psak of the Radvaz. And the Chacham Tzvi argued, and he said, we see from the Trumas Hadeshen, he has a few questions, but one of his questions is, you see from the Trumas Hadeshen that you're allowed to delay the performance of a mitzvah if it means you're going to do the mitzvah in a more mehudar way. So perhaps, in this case of the inmate, it would be preferable to delay the performance of whatever tefillah b'tzibur to do it in a mitzvah that's more chamer, a higher level mitzvah. That was the suggestion of the Chacham Tzvi. So that's known as the machlokas between the Radvaz and the Chacham Tzvi. The reason why this machlokas is not dependent on the psak of the Trumas Hadeshen is because the Chacham Tzvi himself in the Tshuva notes that he thinks that the Trumas Hadeshen is not really a question on the Radvaz. Why? Because the Trumas Hadeshen is talking about one mitzvah that you're allowed to delay to perform that mitzvah in a more mehudar way. What the Radvaz was talking about is you have two separate mitzvahs. It happens to be, one is tefillah b'tzibur on a regular day, and one could be tefillah b'tzibur on Yom Kippur, but those are two separate mitzvahs. So it's a question of a mitzvah kala, delaying a mitzvah kala in order to perform a mitzvah chamura. We don't know matan schar shel mitzvos, as we know from Pirkei Avos. But lamaisa, if on the surface one mitzvah seems to be more chamur, so there the Radvaz was allowing you to delay the performance of the mitzvah kala in order to get to the mitzvah chamura. That's not necessarily the Radvaz says you're not supposed to delay the mitzvah kala in order to get to the mitzvah chamura. That's not necessarily a contradiction with the psak of the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen was saying that same mitzvah which you're going to perform, wait to do it in a more mehudar way. But the Trumas Hadeshen wouldn't necessarily suggest that if you have two mitzvos, that you should delay the performance of the mitzvah kala or neglect the mitzvah kala to wait for a mitzvah chamura. The Chacham Tzvi himself notes let's say davening with a tzibur on a regular weekday versus davening with a tzibur on Yom Kippur.
That's kala versus chamura versus the Kiddush Levana on a Wednesday versus the same mitzvah.
Is the same mitzvah. So the Chacham Tzvi himself notes that, the Trumas Hadeshen, which I thought was a raya to me, is not necessarily a raya. Maybe the Radvaz would agree to that. So that's one reason why the Trumas Hadeshen is not going to make or break the machlokas between the Radvaz and the Chacham Tzvi. And another reason why is because the Trumas Hadeshen himself notes that if there's any concern that you're not going to be able to perform the mitzvah, you shouldn't wait. So Radvaz was talking about a case where the guy was in jail and he was hoping to get out of jail for one day. So, he should chaperein on the any opportunity that he can get to get out. He shouldn't wait because maybe the sar of the jail is going to change his mind. That's a concept of shiui mitzvah lo mashinan. We don't delay the performance of mitzvahs when there's a concern that we're not going to be able to do it. This whole discussion is delaying mitzvahs. We know for sure we're going to be able to do it. Maybe you should wait to do it in a more mahudar way. But if there's any concern that you're not going to be able to do it, so then you shouldn't delay it. So that's what the Radvaz is talking about. So again, so that's why the Radvaz and the Chacham Tzvi, that's not necessarily totally on the Trumas Hadeshen. Be that as it may, there are those who suggest Rav Eliyashiv at the Chida, quoting the Chida, suggests that maybe the Trumas Hadeshen is the answer to the question on the Magen Avraham. So that's the first Mahalach. The second Mahalach, the second possibility, is that perhaps the concept of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos only applies when the mitzvah is ready to go. It's muzman lefanecha. It's ready to be performed in front of you. However, if you need to do something in order to perform the mitzvah, maybe that's not going to be an application of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. For example, let's say we know that when it comes to talis and tefillin, so you're supposed to put your talis on first, and then you put on your tefillin. But the halacha is that if you touch your tefillin before your talis, so you're supposed to, we pass on Shulchan Aruch, that you're supposed to put the tefillin on, and then you put on the talis, because of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. That's the halacha. That's what you should try to, yeah. So let's say you left your talis and tefillin in shul, and they're in two separate bags. So your talis is in one room, and your tefillin is in a different room. And the first room that you go into has your tefillin, and the second room that you go into has your talis. So would we say, because of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos, since the first room that you went into has your talis, Ein Ma'avirin Ala, your tefillin, I got it backwards, your tefillin, so you should put on your tefillin first, because that was the first room that you went into. And then the second room, which has your talis, then you put on your talis, Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. What would you think?
No.
Why not?
Not there in front of you. You're not really...
Right, right.
You have to like actually pass over. You're not actually pass over. You're just right. Not going to.
Right. So there's a Mishnah Berurah who seems to say that to be machmir. The Mishnah Berurah writes that he thinks that is considered Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. But Rav Asher Weiss, where I'm getting a lot of, not all the Marmokomas here, from, but a lot of what I'm saying is from Rav Asher Weiss's Sefer and Kali Mitzvos. He has a nice shtickle on Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. So he argues with the Mishnah Berurah, and he thinks that, no, come on, Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos is if you're passing over the opportunity to do a mitzvah. But if it's so far removed, at a certain point, it's not considered passing over a mitzvah. He gives other examples of that. And this svara I found also in the Hart Tzvi, in Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, also says a similar idea, that the concept of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos is only if the mitzvah is munach lefanecha, it's ready to be performed, then we have a problem of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. But if you're so far removed, there's no problem of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. So they suggest maybe this is the resolution to the problem of Magen Avraham. What are we talking about here? You're walking down Pico, and you have a shul that's right in front of you, and then you have a shul that's a little further. So is that really the mitzvah is presented in front of you? You're outside of the shul. It's one thing maybe if you walk into the shul, you go into the minyan, and then you're like, I'm gonna go to the further shul because of Schar Psios. Maybe there you can discuss Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. But if you're outside the shul, you're on the street, and you pass by the building, are you really passing over a mitzvah? Are you really passing over a mitzvah? So the Hart Tzvi and Rav Asher Weiss in the shtickle both suggest maybe that's why the Magen Avraham was not concerned about Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos, because the mitzvah is really not munach lefanecha, it's really not muzman lefanecha. That's the suggestion of these achronim. Yeah.
Just on the Magen Avraham, it's a little unclear to me in the Magen Avraham if like he's talking about like that case. Could be that they're in totally different directions.
Yeah. So though they're
and on the previous thing, it's like Nosata Dvarach Lashir a little bit, because the Gemara in Yuma, how different is that? I mean, you're walking by the Mizbeach and you have the menorah, so how's that different to two shuls that it's more munach lefanecha? I mean,
yeah,
you still have to do Dishan on Mizbeach. I mean,
right, but
you're saying being on Pico is a little bit more removed than Tefillin. It's a different rooms.
Right, for sure. It's a shtickle nasat that the Rech Lishino is a little subjective and unclear exactly how to quantify what's considered ready to go, for sure. In terms of the Magen Avraham, there are those who suggest that the Magen Avraham's case is not necessarily what we're describing. We were assuming that the Magen Avraham is talking about, you have two shuls, you're here, and you have a shul here, and you have a shul here, so you're definitely going to pass over one shul. Maybe the Magen Avraham is talking about you're in the middle, you have a shul that's over here, and then you have a shul that's over here. So you should walk to the further shul as opposed to the closer shul, which are in two different directions. Correct. Masking. There are those who suggest the Magen Avraham, but the Magen Avraham sounds like it's unequivocal.
Also, you say in the Gemara also that she wasn't passing by the shul; she was just going to a closer, farther shul.
Exactly. The reason why the Achronim, I think, suggest that it's not the Pshat on the Magen Avraham is because the Magen Avraham sounds unequivocal. I mean, he doesn't give you that that caveat that, oh, but if the one shul was you're passing by, it sounds like, unequivocally, you should always go to the further shul, no matter which direction you're coming from. I think that's why the Achronim assumed that the Magen Avraham was talking about that case. But that's an excellent point, for sure. Okay, so those are two suggestions. Again, the first one is maybe you're allowed to delay the performance of a mitzvah. You're allowed to pass over a mitzvah in order to do a mitzvah with greater hiddur. Alternatively, maybe the mitzvah has to be munach lefanecha. The third suggestion, how much time do we have? Anyone with time?
12 minutes?
9:17. Okay, perfect. So the last suggestion that we're going to mention is the following. In Hilchas Chanukah, we know that there are two separate minhagim in terms of how to light the candles. Do you light the first candle? Let's say we're on the second night. So do you light the first candle or do you light the second candle on the third night? Do you light the first candle or the third candle? Do you light the candle that's furthest to the right or the furthest to the left? Do you light the new candle or do you light the Iker candle? Those are the two minhagim that the Taz quotes and the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and this I think is the minhag of most people, that they light the not like the Gaon, that they light the one that's furthest to the left, meaning the newest candle.
Well, I thought the Gemara says called Pina Shata, you gotta go to the Yamin.
The Gemara does say that, but not in this context.
I just thought that, I didn't know that was the Gemara. Sure. You're turning right, you gotta turn right.
Yes.
You can't turn left.
That is the basis for the Minhag to go left to right.
What? No, not everybody holds by that?
No, because the Gaon says that you should light the Iker candle first. When you have,
the Iker candle's on the farther left.
No, the Iker candle is near a little bit, that Ner Yishubeso, that one Ner is the Iker Mitzvah. That's the Mahadran candles. Those are the Mahadran candles. Mahadran candles. But the Iker Mitzvah is the first candle. So maybe that beats out the concept of Kolpino Shatapone. That's the Machlokas.
What? Well,
yes.
Right,
but the Shulchan Aruch assumes what?
Yeah,
left
to right.
But the first candle is the most important.
The reason that there are some who are nohag to light the furthest on the right, not the furthest on the left, meaning the first candle, is because since the first candle is the Iker Ner, we set it up first, right?
So
even the Shulchan Aruch is masking that's the Iker candle, that's you set it up first, but you go from left to right because of Kol Pino Shatapone, whatever. Okay, Lamaisa. So most are nohag that you light from left to right. Because of that, the Mishnah Brura quotes Achronim, who suggest that therefore you should position yourself in a way that the first candle that you get to is the one on the left. You shouldn't be standing over here because then you're going to pass over the first few candles. You should stand to the left or whatever, your left, in order to get to the candle that's always on the left, so you don't violate the problem of Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvos. Right? That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayadim. The Taz suggests this as well. So the Das Teira, which is the commentary in Shulchan Aruch of the Maharsham. The Maharsham was Rav Shalom Mordechai Shvadron. He was one of the great Galitziana Poskim of the pre-war era. So he has Tshuvas called Maharsham, and Das Torah is his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. So the Maharsham asked the following question on this psak of the Taz and the Mishnah Berurah that you should stand to the left to avoid the problem of Ein Ma'avirin Al Mitzvos. He says, it can't be that this would be a problem of Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos. Because who says that Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos applies to one mitzvah? Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos is when you have two mitzvos, so you should perform the first mitzvah before the second mitzvah. So wait a second. Is that true?
No.
No, because we know from the Gemara Menachos that...
And Megillah.
That it applies. So the Marsham notes that. At the end of this piece over here in Source 12, he notes that the Gemara in Menachos is a kasha on his assumption. But he says it can't be, though, because if you're going to assume that Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvah applies to one mitzvah, why is it that when it comes to learning, you should be mechuyev to learn the first sefer? You're at the bookshelf, and you're trying to look for your sefer. So you shouldn't be allowed to pass over one sefer to get to another sefer because of Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos. That's the question of the Marsham. If you take a look here in Source 12, he says the fourth line: Laniyaz Daiti Yesh Lomer the Ba'osa Mitzvah Lo Shayach Din Ein Ma'avir. When it comes to one mitzvah, it doesn't make sense to apply Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos. Teid, I'll prove it to you. Dim Lokein, Yechuyev Tamid Lilmod B'Sefer Rishon Habal Yado. You should be obligated to learn the first sefer that comes your way. You shouldn't be allowed to pass over one sefer in order to get to another sefer. Oh, Likros B'Sefer Torah Echad Habal Yado Harishon. I'm sorry, Habal Yado. You should have to read from the first sefer Torah that comes your way. You shouldn't be able. You open the Aron. There are multiple sefer Torah. You know, we paskin that if you take one out, you shouldn't put it back. But you shouldn't even be allowed to, pass over one in order to get to the other. You should have to read from the first sefer Torah because of Ein Ma'avir and all mitzvahs. That's the Marsham's question. So what's going to be the answer to that question? So Rabbi Asher Weiss says, if you take the Marsham's question, you could really, make it, take it redictio ad absurdum. And how can you ever learn Daf Yomi? Anytime you open a Gemara, you should have to learn Daf Beis before Daf Gimel, Daf Dal, Daf Hey. You should always have to start the limud of Gemara with Daf Beis. Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos. So obviously this is wrong. The question is why? Why is this wrong? So he suggests two, Rav Asher Weiss in this shtickl on Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos, he suggests two reasons why the assumption of the Marsham in his question is incorrect. So first of all, Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos is when you want to perform two mitzvos, or you want to perform one mitzvah, the question is, where do you want to do it? When it comes to Talmud Torah, if I want to learn from Sefer X, and I don't want to learn from Sefer Y, there's no problem of passing over Sefer Y if I don't want to learn from it. Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos is that I plan to perform two mitzvos, or I plan to perform one mitzvah. The question is where. But if I don't want to do the mitzvah, then that's not a problem of Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos. I didn't intend, I don't plan on doing that mitzvah. It's only when I plan on doing both mitzvahs, it's a question of kadimus, it's a question of which mitzvah should I perform first. I shouldn't pass over the mitzvah if I'm going to perform it anyway. But if I'm not going to perform that mitzvah, I don't want to learn from that sefer, or I don't want to learn Daf Beis in Maseches Sota, I want to learn Daf Chaf Beis, so there's no problem of Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos. That's his first suggestion why this is not a question in terms of...
You have to do mitzvah X, basically. As opposed to mitzvahs, you have to do both.
Exactly.
That's why it's different.
Exactly.
The book, you don't have to pick up this book, but you do have to put on the tongue on the top.
Exactly. That's his first suggestion. The second suggestion, this is why it's going to be relevant to this discussion of Beis HaKnesses, is that Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos is when we're talking about a cheftza shel mitzvah. There's an object that you're going to use to perform the mitzvah, and the question is, are you allowed to pass over that cheftza shel mitzvah, or that zman of the mitzvah, in order to fulfill it at a later time, or fulfill a different mitzvah with a different chafetz shel mitzvah. Like, think about the examples. Are you the Gemara in Yuma about doing the dishun of the mizbeach hapnimi before the hatavas haneiros? So you're passing over the mizbeach haktoris, which is the chafetz that you're using to perform the mitzvah. That is the mitzvah. You do the mitzvah with that object. You're not allowed to pass over that in order to use the menorah to perform the mitzvah of hatavas haneiros. Right? Or the Gemara Menachos. You're passing over these stalks of barley in order to get to those stalks of barley. That is the mitzvah of Ketziras HaOmer. That would be a problem of Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvos. But says Rabbi Asher Weiss, When it comes to something that's a hechsher mitzvah, something that facilitates a mitzvah, it's not necessarily a chetzel shel mitzvah, but something that's going to facilitate or enable your performance of a mitzvah, is it so obvious that we can apply, that we should apply the concept of ein mavir al mitzvahs? He suggests not. So when it comes to a beis haknesses, we'll get to beis haknesses in a second. So when it comes to svarim, he suggests that svarim really are not a cheftishal mitzvah, they're a hechsher mitzvah, right? If a person knows svarim bal peh, he doesn't necessarily need the sefer anymore. The sefer is just a way to facilitate and enable you to learn. The cheftishal mitzvah is the Torah, is the content. But the sefer itself is just a hechsher of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So that's why there's no problem of Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvahs. Ein Ma'avir Al Mitzvahs is the Chefzah Shal Mitzvah. You should not pass over for another Chefzah Shal Mitzvah. But if it's a Hechsher Mitzvah, something that's just going to facilitate your performance of the mitzvah, maybe you're allowed to pass over that Hechsher in order to get to a different Hechsher. So if that's the case, he suggests, maybe that's the answer to the question on Mangan of Ram. When it comes to a Beis HaKnesses, a Beis HaKnesses certainly has Kedusha. And it's certainly a necessary structure that every community needs, but what purpose does it serve? It facilitates the performance of the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur. It's not necessarily the cheftah shel mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur. It's a hechsher of tefillah b'tzibur. It's a place that facilitates and enables tefillah b'tzibur. And if that's the case, is it so obvious that when you pass over one shul to get to another shul, that's considered that you're passing over a mitzvah to get to another mitzvah? You're passing over a... Steph's not happy.
Well, I don't like going to shul, so I'm okay with it. But, I mean, you don't... Like, the example, the guy knows he knows Shas Baal Peh. He doesn't have to open the book.
Yeah.
You can't have 10 people dabbing in the parking lot and a domed going to shul. It's okay. Not the same. So the guy with the book, the guy that knows the Shas, he doesn't need the book. He really doesn't need the book. But your shul is not a hechsher. It's not a hechsher ritual. You have to go to the shul. Yeah, it doesn't facilitate the minyan. You have to have the minyan in the shul.
So you're suggesting that there's definitely evidence for that, and you're right, that tefillah b'tzibur is enhanced in the Beis HaKnesses. That's for sure.
It's not the same as the parking lot.
That's for sure. Right. But the question is it necessary in order to perform tefillah b'tzibur?
No.
It's the same mitzvah. It could be that it's an enhancement. It could be that the tefillah is going to be niskabel. It's going to be nishma. More likely to be nishma and when you dive into shul or in a base medrash. But in terms of the bare bone mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur, you can fulfill that on Idris Avenue, you know, you can fill that on Idris, or in Yik, you know, it's less than ideal, for other reasons, but in terms of the performance of the mitzvah of tefillah b'tzibur, therefore, from that perspective, the shul just facilitates that. It's just a makom for that. You hear that?
There are some kiyumim, though, besides tefillah b'tzibur. Like, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, like, the psukim you're supposed to say when you're going through Ani Avo V'Secha, Shechavu, like, there's kiyumim in just shul itself that make it slightly less attribute. Just like...
For sure, it's a right. It's a mikdash ma'ad on a certain level. It could be that as kedusha midaraisa or
right.
Certainly kedusha midarabanan.
Yes,
but that's pertaining to the mitzvah that we're talking about is passing over the one place to do tefillah b'tzibur in order to get to tefillah b'tzibur. So with respect to tefillah b'tzibur, it's not necessarily
also a woman. So it's a woman. It doesn't make sense.
Either way, so Rav Asher Weiss suggests that perhaps that's the answer to the question of. How can the Magen Avraham suggest you're allowed to pass over one shul in order to get another shul for a schar psios? The answer is, who says you're passing over one mitzvah? Passing over one shul is passing over a hechsher mitzvah, and that's not necessarily going to be a problem of ein ma'avir al mitzvah. So again, we came here because of the Gemara and Sota here, schar psios, the psak of the Magen Avraham, go to the further shul for schar psios. What happened to ein ma'avir al mitzvah? So we gave three suggestions. The first one is maybe you're allowed to pass over one mitzvah in order to perform the mitzvah with greater hiddur. The second was, maybe the mitzvah has to be presented in front of you, ready to go, and maybe this is too far removed. Shailov nasat v'rech leshiyun. And the third answer that we suggested is, from Rav Asher Weiss, is maybe Ein Ma'avir al mitzvah only applies to a bona fide chetzah shel mitzvah. When it comes to the hechsher mitzvah, there's no problem of Ein Ma'avir al ha-mitzvahs. Shkoyach.
Yeah, wow. Interesting.